Now you know this ain't a secret group that's on the Facebook. Here you'll hear the boozy news. Call all your drinking crews, put down the drugs and booze. You come in the rooms, no timing, or you're coming new. Shelly, Mark, and Bruce, they give the lightest news. Rock bottom, bought your time, bought you attitude. Yeah, reppin' rule 62. After meetings, what you do when the sharing's through? Like these three, you might visit your best coffee house. Kick your feet up in a meetup, lay your vocals down. Find a topic pulled from decades of experience. See druggies in their huggies showing nothing close to common sense. Have some true blue funny conversation, then send that shit bit by bit across the Attic Nation. Yeah, and you know what's coming. Number one fan Fran, and she's humming. Recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101.
Thank you to Noah for our absolutely fantastic Recovery 101 jingle with the homage to Fran-tastic in there. We've got Noah-tastic and Fran-tastic. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFAIR, or just FA?
Just FA.
FA, Hefe.
Hefe? Don't speak for the boss?
We don't speak for the Hefe. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce Bielzo. As always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
Sweet. Yep.
So, how is everybody's day?
Cold.
You know what?
What?
We hadn't had the event with the dog when we did the last show, had we?
No, because it happened
on Valentine's Day. Oh, we'll go right ahead, shall
we? Where's X?
Well,
it's a convoluted story. A
couple of weeks ago, Bruce and I were about to leave somewhere, and I noticed that X was standing up on the couch and had his front paws on the cat tree and was right in front of the window, which was open, and I thought, he will go right out that screen. And I said to Bruce, go close the front window.
I did.
And he did. Knowing that X could probably pop out the screen and jump out the window, I've never opened that window real wide. And on Valentine's Day, it was a nice warm day. I wanted to get some fresh air in the house, so I cracked the window like 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that X was smart enough to push the window open the rest of the way, pop the screen out, and go for a joyride.
With his nose.
Yes. Oh. When Bruce went in to get X
to go for a walk,
probably half an hour, 40 minutes after he did this, because I fed him, went out, we were sitting out in the garage talking to a friend. About a half an hour later, maybe a little bit more, Bruce went in to get X, take him for a walk, and X was not there.
Mm.
So Bruce and I, for a little while, and our friend William, drove around looking for X for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce called the police, called animal control. I finally had to leave and go to Gesundheit.
Thank you.
The finance committee meeting at church. I come back, still no X. Bruce checks the animal control website one last time. Ta-da! There's a picture of X. They'd picked him up like 3 blocks from our house.
Looking
on Branca.
Quite happy, actually, as opposed to every other dog in there.
Yeah, he's looking like he won a freaking prize. He's like grinning at the camera and shit. So he calls the night number at Baldwin Park Animal Shelter, talks to the woman, claims the dog, gives them his name and number. They say, yeah, you can come pick him up at noon tomorrow, pay the impound fee, blah, blah, blah. So I go, Bruce has to work, so my friend William and I, because he's too strong for me by myself, go to pick him up, only to find out that he is already chipped.
Because, of course, we got the dog.
Yeah, you go ahead.
From someone. Someone found X in Arizona in the desert.
Right.
Then they couldn't keep him. They gave him to another couple, and their kids that were coming out here to California, turns out the place they were moving into, they couldn't keep it either. They gave it to someone who gave it to Zeke, our friend from Cafe X2O.
Yes.
So Zeke gives them to us.
Right.
So he's chipped probably from someone in Arizona.
Right.
And we hadn't had the opportunity to get him chipped yet because we had gone off for a week, and So now we can't get him until the 27th if no one else comes to get him.
Because by law, California state law, they have to trace the original owner.
Right.
If the chip does not correspond to us.
Right.
Of course, the chip is missing numbers.
Yeah, the chip, they're calling it, broken is what they called it.
Yeah, because the girl's like, it doesn't match anything in the database anywhere.
Okay.
But we still have to wait. And they still have to search. So every day they try and search for the broken, or at least part of the number, try to find a match. So far they haven't been able to. We'll probably get him back on the 27th.
I've gone and visited him a couple times.
Ugh. Yeah, I visited him once. Bruce has gone a couple times.
What a killer when you got to leave.
I think next week we're allowed to take him out to the little areas where they have the...
He's like, where the F are you going?
Yeah.
And not taking me.
Ugh. So he's in doggy jail.
Yep.
Now, this probably would have happened eventually anyway, because when we took him to the vet in a week or so to get him chipped and shot and get him all, you know, in with our vet.
The vet would have found a partial chip.
They would have found the partial chip, and they would have had to trace it, because they have to.
Right.
Well, now, he wasn't fixed before.
You should have probably been fostering him during the time they're looking for the new owners.
They wouldn't let us. They wouldn't, but they said they
couldn't. Well, we're the first, what do they call it? There's a term for it.
We're committed to adopt.
Yes.
Because they picked him up
CTA.
On the street, it's as if, and the chip doesn't correspond to us, it's as if we're adopting the dog.
Okay.
And they know we already had him for 3 weeks before that, and so, and he keeps tabs, Bruce is keeping tabs on it, and on the bright side, he will have all his shots, he will be fixed, the chip will be transferred to Bruce's name, and it would cost us a lot less than if we had done it at the vets.
Right.
So.
Yeah, well, thank God for small favors. He'll probably be less... interested in running, apparently, what someone told me. They're not as likely. Well,
you would be too.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, it's hard to go out clubbing.
That's right.
When you know nothing's going to happen. Yeah. How's your week?
I covered my week before the show. So.
Yeah, he did. He did cover his week before the show, but on the bright side, Mark, you're not in jail and you haven't been castrated, so you know
that's
looking
true.
Up from there.
That's true. I still don't want to go. I still don't want to go running anywhere. So, no, I told you guys before the show. My father passed from colon cancer 20 plus years ago. So every 5 years, I get to go have my colonoscopy.
Oh,
so I prepped on Tuesday, went in Wednesday. Woke up after the test to find out.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then woke up to find out that they said I hadn't prepped enough. Couldn't do the test. They couldn't complete the test. So I had to prep for another day with no solid food and a whole nother gallon of Joy juice.
Dude, that stuff is... And they're it's lemon flavored or something. Yeah. I'm like, that does not taste like lemon.
Yeah. So,
did you do the thing where you pour other stuff into it? Like,
no,
I poured,
actually,
like,
you know,
crystal
actually, the stuff they
stuff
had
into
now
it.
Wasn't bad.
Oh,
I've had everything I've had before
it
was horrible.
Light.
This wasn't, but so anyway, so I prepped for another day. Went in, wake up from anesthesia. Doctor says, I ran into some seeds early on, so I didn't finish the tests, and I'm just going push through, pal.
You're
push
like, what?
Through.
What?
You know. I mean, I'm thinking about the scene in Armageddon where they're trying to drill through the plate. You know, it's like, push through, dude.
Are you effing kidding me?
So I went from Monday night at 9 o'clock to Thursday morning without any solid food. And good news is I lost 5.5 pounds last week.
Well, you know, and you've been losing anyway.
Yeah, so now I'm down 56 pounds.
Holy crap.
Since I started FA.
If I could put on about 56 pounds.
I know where it is.
Oh, no, that would be too much for me. I could put on about 20. 20 would be good.
Yeah. I want to drop by about another 9.
Yeah. Me at 20, I'd be at like 190, 195. Yeah. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Shelley.
What?
Anything else besides the amazing dog story from you? Anything spectacular?
Did your spectacularity happen this week?
I'm not dead.
She's become a complete Instagram fiend.
Oh.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Mimi's Magic Room. Follow me. Follow.
She's got some cool jewelry, like with cool semi-precious stones. I mean, this isn't like you know, stupid glass beads. This is
well,
like,
some of it is stupid glass beads, well, but they're not all stupid.
By the way, when you have to get stuck 2 days in a row,
are you sure you haven't been slamming?
You look like a freaking like you've been slamming and not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, that looks like me after about 3 days. Yeah.
It's like when they in December when they were going to do the CT with contrast, mm-hmm. and they stuck me 7 times and couldn't get the IV in because I was so dehydrated, my veins were collapsing. So yeah, but I didn't have bruises that spectacular.
Well, I got the girl, you know, the girl's going to put my IV in, and I'm like, I go, don't use that when it rolls.
And then
I don't use that
anyway.
When it rolls.
Yeah, and then they do it anyway.
No, she says, well, how about this one? I said, I never use that one.
I had this gal one time. I was at Warm Springs, and you know, and I'm just done with a run. You know, and I go into Warm Springs, and she's looking at my arm. She's like, because she's going to try and figure out where to get blood from. And she looks at me, and she goes, which one is Old Faithful? And I go, it's that one right there. And she goes, bink. She goes, oh, yeah, that worked. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I don't want you exploring.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. I was an IV drug user that absolutely can't, like, I can't stand getting my blood drawn. I hate it.
Yeah. I have no problem watching other people's blood. Do not watch my own.
Well, my brain looks at it and says, feels a needle going. It's like, okay, here comes.
Oh, no.
Nothing. Yeah, so would be
who's calling
doing
you?
This?
We're recording.
Mikey from AA.
Call him back.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
So, you know what that means. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
The process of getting around all of the crap is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All of the crack?
Crap, I said.
We should wire in a second screen for you so you just have it in front of you.
Or something. Well, I was printing them, but the problem with printing is that I'm not rich. I can't afford all that ink and paper all the time.
It's not that much. Dude, you know that laser jet printer? That thing will print like literally like 5,000 copies on one thing of toner.
Okay, let's see. We have shout-outs to Lee, Natalie, Sally, Dan, John, Jack, Lisa, Susan, Randy, Mitch, Bill, Dakota, Carol, John, Joey, James, Fran, Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jane, somebody, Rose, Neil, and Rebellion Dogs.
How's your smoke?
It's really good.
I think so, too.
Okay. Now, a bunch of these were actually me. Now, this actually made me chuckle a little bit. This happened in California, Northern California. You know, the Tesla?
The car?
The car. It's underwater. The Tesla Model S.
The car that goes like 0 to 60 in like 2.3 seconds or something?
It's in the story, they call it gorgeous, extremely fast, and doesn't have to pull into a smelly gas station every 3 days. Interestingly enough, a Tesla owner in Northern California was arrested for kidnapping.
Uh-huh.
When a bystander, someone driving by, saw him loading children into the trunk of his Tesla.
That's where the seats are.
She didn't know that.
Oh.
There are regular two seats in the front, and then there's a little back seat, and then there's a thing in the back. Like, you remember the old station wagons where you could put the little jump seats? There are jump seats back there. His two little kids were like, I want to get in the backpack. I want to get in the backpack. So he loads them into the back. Starts driving down the road. Boo! Here come the cops. They pull him over. They yank the kids out of the car. They take him. They hook him up.
Kids are like, that's my dad.
The cops have never seen a Tesla before. They didn't know. From their perspective, it looked like, and to the people driving past, it looked like this guy was loading kids into his trunk.
However, though, once you open up the car, in order to take the kids out, you have to be able to see they're in a seat.
He was not actually charged. They hooked him up, but he was not actually charged when they investigated the vehicle and discovered that they were actually seats and not.
They won't actually be sued either. This will get settled early.
Yeah. So I thought that was amusing. Because I used to love the little jump seats in the back of my dad's station wagon. I don't know why I thought it was an adventure.
I always liked it, too. I remember in Boy Scouts. And, of course, what did we do? We rolled down the window, which we heard later is where all the noxious fumes get pulled in from the exhaust.
That explains a lot about you.
Yeah, and now I know what happened. I think it was my first drug experience.
Breathing in the
carbon
fumes.
Carbon monoxide.
Now, I put this story in. I can't remember if we did it, but I don't know if we did. Hero of the week, Sheila Frederick, 49 years old, and flight attendant on Alaska Airlines. Did we do that one? Does that sound familiar? Oh, you don't have a...
It's right on the other side of the board.
Oh, he got it.
It's on the far side of the board.
Well, he got it. Okay. She is the hero of the week. She noticed a man in his 40s and a young girl, looked about 13 or 14, getting onto the plane. Both were ticketed passengers. She noticed that the man was very well dressed. He was an older man. And she, the girl, and I'm quoting this, the flight attendant, looked like she had been through pure hell. Greasy blonde hair, dirty clothes, very downcast, following along. During the flight, she became suspicious because the man was very defensive, wouldn't let the flight attendant speak to the girl, spoke on her behalf. She got suspicious. When the girl did get up to use the restroom, she slipped her a note as she walked into the bathroom that just said, "Do you need help?" While she was in the bathroom, the girl used like soap or something and wrote on the mirror, "Yes." The man had actually purchased her for a sex slave ring.
Oh.
And had kidnapped her from her family.
Now, is this an American flight?
Yes. And Alaska Airlines, Seattle to San Francisco.
Air Marshal
on board? I'm imagining that there was, but nothing happened actually in the plane. What happened was...
They waited till they got to the airport.
They waited till they got to the airport. She alerted the captain, and they had a confab. They wouldn't give you the exact... In the story, it won't give you the exact chain of command.
Yeah. There was a bunch of guys waiting.
Yeah. And he was... escorted off the
guys.
Plane.
I would have just found the three guys on the ground crew that had three daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just let them know.
He was escorted off the plane, and she was taken into protective custody, whereupon they found out she told them what had happened, that she was going home from school.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
The guy's name is not in the story, so.
Should be.
Somebody's going to be in trouble.
Should be.
But quick thinking flight attendant, good for her.
Yeah.
Yay. Yay.
And no, we hadn't done that story.
Oh,
no.
Okay, good. Did we do the limes? Put
the lime in
the coconut and drink it
all. Put the lime in the
In this
coconut.
Case.
Coconut. Remember that guy?
Actually.
What was that guy's name? The Uncola Nut.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know his name and now I can't remember.
Jeffrey something?
I don't remember.
Big, huge, like Jamaican guy. Like,
yeah.
Big guy.
Seven up
commercials.
In this case, you know, it may be limes in the story, but they're not really limes.
No.
Customs and Border Protection agents discovered 3,947 pounds of marijuana on a commercial shipment of key limes into the U.S. The marijuana was rolled up into balls, covered with plastic wrap, and painted. Each one was painted to look like a little key lime. So it looked...
That's a lot of work.
I was thinking, and I saw the picture of...
Especially when they could have just got some from some growers in California.
Yeah.
And I saw the picture of the actual giant shipping crate full of these fake limes.
Yeah.
Thinking, somebody spent a lot of time doing that. Because key limes are small.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
In California, we're thinking, were they smuggling paint in?
Yeah, I know. Because in California, it's like, of course, Philip Morris... is supposed to grow it now, but that's another story.
The drugs were valued at approximately $789,467. That's an oddly specific number, but okay. They found because it was just a general commercial. You know how the shipping things, there's all those crates or whatever, and they just bring dogs and walk the dogs up and down the aisles. The customs and enforcement do.
Until the one dog pees.
Dog's like, these limes smell like weed.
And one of the dogs said, "Wow, these limes are interesting," and went crazy, and that was how they discovered it. That's a lot of limes. Bill sent this story in Louisiana. The St. Tammany Police Department.
The St. what?
Tammany? Tammany
Saint
Parish?
St. Tammany,
I'm
Louisiana.
I'm sure I'm pronouncing that right, wrong, but a canine dog named Freya successfully recovered a missing 14-year-old autistic boy. They couldn't find him.
From a crate of limes?
No. He'd wandered off, gotten lost, and because, you know, autistic people aren't, they can't, it depends on which part of the spectrum you're in, but they shut down, like,
right.
Because there's too much outside stimulus. Right. And he had curled up into a little ball and was hiding under leaves in the woods. Oh. Nobody had been able
now,
to find the kid.
Was
and
the
was,
dog, like, was it like just a regular police dog, or was it like a bloodhound?
No, yeah, it
dog?
Looks like a blood. It's totally cute. It doesn't. It's not a German Shepherd. It's a bloodhound,
yeah.
And it's this dog is specifically trained to find lost children.
Yeah, they're so very that, good at it too.
Yeah, so that it won't, because like a German Shepherd, and a little kid that's lost might scare the crap out of him.
German Shepherd goes up, and kills him.
So yeah, so good
my,
for
my Freya. Dog's trained to find lost clean carpet and pee on it.
Oh, well, yeah, clearly.
Hey, here's a spot that hasn't been used.
My dog is trained to bail out the screen
front window.
Yeah, my dog's going to be 18 in 2 months.
Where was I? I don't know who sent this story in, but it wasn't me. Oh, Bill sent this in.
Yay! Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
Researchers at the University of New Mexico Pain Center are trying to get a...
Dominatrix?
They're calling it a recommendation. They've done a bunch of research, and they've found that patients
that beat people
are on patients that are on long-term opioids, like painkillers that have chronic pain, need to have naloxone on hand.
Ooh.
Because apparently sometimes the things that are listed as an accidental overdose, and everybody thinks they're addicts, it's actually people that are in pain meds and have either forgotten that they took a dose or have been on it so long that their bodies are wearing down, but naloxone can save lives. So the recommendation is that naloxone, because it's not something you get high on, should be everywhere. They want everybody in America to have naloxone on hand. I'm like, I know
who started that.
Need it.
The company that
makes
naloxone.
Yeah. Well, as it stands, in a lot of states now are requiring police officers to carry at least two doses of naloxone in the trunk
of
their cars.
Oh, yeah. We had a story one time where a guy used like both his doses and had to have guys bring more doses.
Yes.
And they ended up saving at least one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were seven people that had a heroin overdose.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking of a guy and a girl in a car with their kids in the back seat.
Oh.
And I can't remember if they saved them both or if they only saved one of them. But one of them got saved for sure. I remember
that.
Yeah,
and I forget the exact details on that story.
And that was naloxone as well.
Bill sent this story in.
Bill is on fire.
He's on fire.
Fire.
It's game over for the thimble.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was so sad.
Yes. Hasbro Incorporated had a, they did their poll on which token should go because they're going to do a new token
Monopoly?
In Monopoly.
Yeah, that's because no one knows what it is anymore.
Nobody knows what a thimble is anymore unless you're a crafter or
what
a sewer.
Is it now? What is it now? A laptop?
No, the they haven't.
Cell phone?
What was the vote?
Cell phone would run out quick, though.
I don't think that they
have
published
to be something that could last for a long time, because if you use a cell phone, like if you used a flip phone 10 years ago, already that thing doesn't, people would be like, what the hell is that?
Well, I don't think that they published the actual.
I never saw.
All I know is that the results of the poll were that the thimble is out. And they're putting something a bit more relevant to today's society in. Because last time they voted out the iron, and they replaced it with a cat. A little cat token.
Scotty Dog's still there, right?
Scotty Dog is still there. Fine. Race car's still there. Top Hat's still there.
And the race car is like the most ancient-looking 1928 race car.
Yeah.
I know, but everybody wanted to be the race car. I always wanted to be the Thimble. I'm tough out of luck.
I wanted to be the Scotty Dog.
So what do you suppose they're going to use?
Well, there have been a lot of things proposed. I know emojis have been like little happy face things. I know. If they put an emoji token in Monopoly, I'll never buy another Monopoly set again. Of course, I don't own one now.
You know what I think it's going to be? Nicki Minaj's ass.
That would be a really big token.
You know, the Monopoly guy's like, I like big butts and I cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny. Okay.
Hey, if people are listening to the show, you should put what you think they should use for a
Monopoly token
piece.
Bill sent this story in.
Donald Trump's hairdo.
Okay, it could be.
Yikes. Wait, let me see what time. Oh, maybe we should save that one for
the
next.
Oh, I know what they should do. Humble trophy.
Yes, I'm going to save that one for the next show. And that is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, everyone. It's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips. They've got regular chips. They've got medallions. They've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsor people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about. Come on, Shelly, join in. We haven't done that in a long time. She's just not even gonna acknowledge that.
It's like it's not even happening.
Like it was never a thing. So, I was listening to our friend Ken speak at a meeting the other night, and the quote that I sent myself from the meeting was, nothing started to change until I started to change. So, I was thinking maybe we could talk about changes.
Change from within.
Yeah, and change from without as well.
From without. You know,
there's, what was the old commercial? And this goes way back. It was like the Schick Center for the Control of Alcoholism or whatever. And they talked about this guy, and they said, the only thing you have to change is everything.
Yeah.
And they talk about this guy that falls into a river. And, you know, he's getting pummeled by the river, and finally he grabs onto this rock out in the middle of the river. But it's rapids and stuff, and he's getting the crap beat out of him against the rock. And the problem is, even though he's in a bad situation, he doesn't want to change because he's scared of what's downstream, so he doesn't want to let go of the rock, so he's getting beat to hell. So, Shelster. Changes. We should look for a little clip of Bowie for that, because we could use it if it's just a clip. Changes.
How many times do you want to say that in this show?
At least one more.
Probably 5-6 more times.
What's the question?
What do you think about changes?
I can hear it going on in his brain.
How would you address changes?
Shut up.
Hey. Bowie passed this last year. I'm all about Bowie.
It's a tribute.
Oh, you are not.
This is the David Bowie tribute show.
Oh, bullshit. I mean, darn. I mean, no. I mean, wait. Oh, I can cuss on the internet.
You can cuss on the internet.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's okay.
Change, for me, I dislike it at the same time that I move toward it, which is very weird.
Oh, interesting.
I completely love totally breaking things down, reorganize everything, throw stuff away, change the way I'm doing everything. You know, I like doing that. At the same time, I hate trying to change the way I think about doing that. Does that make sense?
No.
The mental process? No, that doesn't make any sense.
As long as it makes sense to you.
Right.
I have a hard time with change when it comes to...
This show.
I have a hard time with change when it
when
comes
you edit,
to
you're gonna
mental
get this.
Process. I know. I am. Eventually. But the actual doing of it, once I get... I just have to do stuff. Because if I think about it too much, I'll worry about it. I don't mind doing it. I don't mind making changes as long as I don't think about it too much, because my brain will mess me up.
Well, God's going to tell you what to change, right? Because you're going to give all your stuff to Him every morning. Third step prayer.
All right. And?
So He's going to direct all your change. So it's all going to be good.
Yeah.
How about you, Mark?
I had no idea how to change me when I got here.
No, you know? Not at all.
And but the good news was I wasn't resistant to it either. You know, I kind of just went with whatever people told me to do. It was like, you know, do this, okay, do this.
And why
okay.
did you do that?
Because I didn't want to die.
There you go.
You know, I just didn't want to die. And but you know, that topic
they told
kinda,
me to.
Yeah, the topic kind of takes me back to a show we recently did, because we talked about how people come in and they start doing what the program tells them to do, and they start following direction, and things get better, and then all of a sudden they start trying to change that. And instead of just letting the change occur, we try to change it back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I still want to be myself. You were a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Your best thinking got you here.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I think that's one of the greatest quotes in program when people go, well, I was thinking, what, your best thinking got you to the program. So maybe you should do what we are telling you to do now.
Last time I had a guy say, hey, you know, I was thinking, I said, hold on. Let me go pop some popcorn.
Yeah, absolutely.
let me settle it for this shit show.
I'm going to start telling my new sponsees, thinking is not a good look on you.
You know, there is a great meme that I've seen on Facebook many times. It doesn't even say anything, but it's from the movie Thriller, and it's got Michael Jackson sitting there with a big thing of popcorn, and it's like when people start bitching at each other in a thread, someone posts that in there like, I got my popcorn.
Yeah.
I'm ready to watch.
This ought to be good.
And I was like you. You know, when I first came in, you know, the very first time I went to meetings, I went to Las Encinas Hospital. It was a hospital.
Yep.
At the time, I didn't really, I hadn't quite clued into the fact it was a mental hospital.
It was a country club.
Well, I thought I was going to go in the hospital and they were going to, I don't know, slam me up with something and it was going to fix me.
You.
You know, like you've got tonsillitis, you go to the hospital, they take out your tonsils, you're cured.
Yeah. You go in, they take out your Coke and you're fine.
I thought I'd go in, they'd take out my alcoholism addiction and I would be fine. Yeah. And then they started saying, you know, you're going to have to go to these meetings and you got to get a sponsor and you got to work a steps. And I'm like, whoa.
Bruce B is here for a cokectomy.
Yeah, that's it. I wanted a cokectomy.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Wait, what?
Cokectomy.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
say something
else.
To
remove the coke.
What do you do, Shelley, when you have sponsees that are resistant to change? I mean, do you just smack them upside the head and say you?
No, I usually tell them what my sponsor told me. When you're enough pain, then you'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do the homework for you.
This isn't grade school. We're not going to teach you to be teachable.
Well, and the funny thing, and I've shared this a few times recently in meetings, and I'm sure, I know Shelley's, I'm sure you've heard it before too. It's like, program is like, it's like when you go to high school and you've got this test, and the greatest news you can hear from the teacher, besides you're not having the test, is the test is open book. You can look up all the answers in there. And then it's like, oh, and that was always a great thing. And then they're like, do you need a tutor? Because we've got a tutor. You could call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if you, if that's not enough, we've got study groups every night.
Yeah.
From, you know, 8 to 9:30 or whatever. Shelley's giving me that look.
No, I wasn't giving, I was okay, I was trying to derail you because you did that particular spiel on the last show.
Did I? On the very last show?
Well, then the last few shows you did.
Well, it bears repeating.
It was so profound by him.
He's the Huell Hauser of recovery.
So wait, so you're saying that in recovery, he's the Huell Hauser.
He's the Huell Hauser. Okay.
You know, what I was, you know, he kind of had that weird sort of southern accent, even though he's in California. Yeah. So tell me about your family farm. Well, we've had this farm for 12 generations. So what you're saying is your family's run this farm for 12 generations. Well, that's exactly what I just said. So what you're saying is that's what you just said.
That's how you turn a 15-minute show into a 30-minute show.
I'm amazed nobody just ever just clocked him.
California gold.
See, I think it would have been great if people would have contradicted him. No, that's not what I said.
So, Mark, what do? You got a guy. He comes in. I know you've had it. Everybody's had it. You got a guy who's resistant to change. Uh-huh. Or what do you tell him about, you know, you better not be resistant to change?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of this program isn't for everyone.
Only the sexy people.
Yeah.
Jerome.
No, but, you know, but people.
Bring me my hat.
But people come in and the first thing they want to do is let you know their ground rules.
I have ground rules for recovery.
Yeah, they're ground rules. This is, well, I'll do this and this, but I won't do this. Okay, then go get loaded now. Why wait? You know, I've told a lot of people, go
get done,
do it right, and get done. Yeah. Then come back and see me. I'll still be here.
I'll save a seat for you.
Yeah, because the program, it's not for everyone. There are people who just try to say, I can't do that. Well, okay, then go do something else. Because what you've done till now has worked so well.
True.
How about you try it? We'll double your misery.
Yeah, we'll refund you at the door. Double your misery back at the door.
Yep.
I've had people that, you know... The thing, like, from the sponsor perspective is, one of the first things you tell people is, if I'm going to sponsor you, you got to do exactly what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's like, that's the whole thing with, hey, call me every day for a week. Because if you can't even get through that, then there's nothing for us to even do.
Yeah, I've never told anybody that.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I have, because that lets me know right off the bat. I say, call me every day for a week. Then I don't ever hear from them. I'm like, oh, so much for that.
I usually open with, write me a page on surrender.
That reminds me. That girl that asked me to sponsor on Tuesday morning still hasn't called me.
The guy that asked me to sponsor on a Tuesday morning, I've already met, taken him to a meeting, and he's called me every single day. Of course, he already has 4 months, so he's not exactly new. 4 months with not a step worked yet, except possibly one.
I just picked up a new sponsee in FA.
Nice.
Found out he has yet to work a step.
Nice.
In FA. He's got 29 years in AA, though, so.
Oh.
See, now this just reinforces, remember a few months ago when I said I needed to take a break from sponsorship because it was depressing me? This just reinforces that break. Clearly, I am not meant to sponsor people because God did not direct her to call me.
God says you're still on break, and then the next girl that asks you, maybe that will be the one where God's like, okay, time.
I went 6 weeks without a sponsee till I got this guy last week.
I've been about 4 months without one.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't been without a sponsee in
I've got
25 years.
I have people that If you ask them, would say I was their sponsor.
True.
Which is different from actually being their sponsor.
I don't have any of those either.
They, you know, when you don't call me for 3-4 months straight, I figure you've moved on one way or the other. Direction or the other.
I have 5 right now.
Good for you. What do you tell them?
The thing is, what I tell them is you got to do whatever I say. And if the thing is, I'm having a thing right now with the guy, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm having a thing with the guy right now. And, you know, he thinks that that he may have another issue that involves another fellowship, where the idea, it's kind of like Food Anonymous. The idea isn't that you stop eating, and then this other fellowship, it's not that you stop doing this one activity, but you don't do it in a self-destructive way or a destructive way to the...
But you pick a hand? What?
That could be the one. So the thing is, he lives with in a situation mm-hmm. where he can't have people over.
Okay.
But he continually wants to take this woman over there every night and bang her. And I'm like...
Okay.
I'm like, have you mentioned this in your other fellowship? And he goes, no, I wouldn't mention that. I'm like, why? Are you only working on parts of program that you want to?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I go, it's sexually destructive behavior, because by bringing this woman there, you could get kicked out of your place of residence. And I'm like, it's just like if you did drugs or alcohol and get kicked out of your place of residence. And we would call that unmanageability.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Oh,
yeah, huh? And I don't need, and I told him, I'm like, dude, I don't know what you need to figure out. I don't know what you need to figure out, but you need, and this was the word that came up. I said, you need to change something. Something's got to change. You got to go to her place or something. You cannot continue to do that, because that's not going to end well. You need to change that activity. And I don't know if he's going to change it.
Write me a page on surrender.
Yeah, it's going to be a, you know what, that's really good. I should have him do
that's
that.
That's what I open with. It is. It's just, I know you open with call me every day for a week. I open with write me a page on surrender.
Mommy's all right.
Daddy's all right.
They just seem a little weird. So let's say that a sponsee comes into you, Shell, and says, I'm having problems with accepting change. What do you direct them to do?
What are you afraid of?
Ooh, go to fear.
Yeah, let's write about it. Because that's usually what happens with me is when there's something, a big change coming up, I'm in fear of something. And then I have to call my sponsor and we discuss.
Yeah. Self-will is a good one, too.
Yeah.
Shelly'd be more than happy to sponsor ladies from other states on Facebook.
On Instagram. Instacrack.
You can't really, well, I guess you could, but direct messages... Nah, that'd be do you
sponsor on Twitter? Can I get you sober at 140 characters or less?
Do you remember the guy? I had a guy contact me from, I can't even remember where it was. It was like Bangladesh or something.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the problem, he's like, we got meetings here. He goes, the problem is nobody has any time. And he goes, and I need, and you know, we conversed for a month or so. And yeah, I'm like, you know, you really need to find somebody that's.
They should have flown you in.
To Bangladesh?
Yeah.
Bruce was pretty much sponsoring an entire meeting in Bangladesh for like a month.
Yeah, I remember.
Because he would talk to this guy, and then this guy would go back to his group.
The guy was amazed at 3 o'clock in the morning that somebody in California was actually responding back to messages.
Well, and you know, and I told the guy, I'm like, who is the one setting up all these meetings? Oh, it's this English guy. You need to get that guy, while he's there, to take like, I don't know, 5 or 10 guys through the steps.
Yeah.
So that you guys can start to disperse that knowledge
quickly
to other people. Yeah. Because otherwise, you know, they're having step study meetings. The guy's like, I'm in the step study meeting. He goes, nobody's worked the step. I'm like, who's running it? He's like, I am. I'm like, oh, that's probably not
the best idea.
That's probably not the best idea. So how about you, Mark? So someone comes in, they say, I'm having, it's not that I don't want to change. I'm just having problems actually doing it.
I Nancy Reagan them.
Just say no?
Just say no. No, you know, just do it. I mean, it's a Nike commercial. Just do it. Do it. Try it. Stop resisting change.
Yeah, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Resistance is futile.
Yeah. You can't change for much worse than
Star
where you're
Trek
at right
reference.
Now. You're in a frickin' 12-step meeting.
I always love the term when you go in your... You're speaking to a group of people or something, and you say, I'm pretty sure that nobody got in here on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but when it was all good, you would have never seen me at a meeting. So shit's been pretty bad. So it's about time for some change.
Yeah, yeah, you're here. What made you come here to start with?
Right. You've already taken the biggest change that you've probably ever taken in your life, which is said, oh, shit, stuff's not going good. I need to do something different, which is all about change. So, Shelly, what would your final words on changes? Hey, don't feel bad. That was only two. I thought there'd be five or six.
When God says, okay, you're doing this now, just do it.
Mark.
The Nike commercial.
Yes.
Well, I am going to use one so that you have to do something else. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't, try something else.
I'm going to ditto both of those. Hey, here's the thing. The grass may in fact be greener on the other side, but you still got to cut the lawn. Shelly, you have an Etsy page.
I do. Etsy.com/shop/ Mimi's Magic Room.
These are kind of convoluted web addresses.
I know. If you just go to Etsy and type in Mimi's Magic Room or my name, Shelly Burnett, it will come up. Yeah, go and look at all my little sparkly things.
She's got some cool recovery jewelry
there now.
Got a
couple of recovery bracelets up there now.
With like onyx and AA symbol.
Yeah, and carnelian.
And stuff. How about the other company?
Terminally Unique Apparel.com. We have shirts for sale with various recovery related slogans designed by Bruce.
The shirt that we have a bunch of that I'm really surprised that we have a bunch of still are the We Are Anonymous shirts. With the kind of program symbol with the Guy Fawkes mask on it.
I was very excited last week. We saw it because the one design that's up there that I came up with, I came up with the idea for the design and Bruce designed it, was, you know, like a 40s guy with a fedora hat on, you know, one of those pictures. And it says Devil. Yeah. And it says Devil May Care Chap. I thought that was a great idea. But nobody bought one.
Oh.
At all. Until last week.
Oh.
Somebody ordered one. I was so excited. I was like, I am putting that puppy in the mail right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we talked about it last show. Unfortunately, I designed a really, really, really good shirt. Best-selling shirt 12-step store ever had. Best-selling shirt we had. Yeah. It was a little too good. Cease and desist from Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
So, Mark, we have an excellent sponsor.
That would be my 12-step store. You can go to my 12-step store, which is in West Hollywood. Great brick and mortar location. Fantastic array of books and trinkets and chips and all kinds of stuff you can buy that are all recovery related.
Gifts aplenty.
Yes. You can also go to my12stepstore.com and order from their online store.
You can literally, like, the coin and chip and medallion selection is amazing. I mean, we have our friend Bill got a Wiccan recovery chip on there. I mean, literally, they have everything. It's very, very cool. Cross the street from Coffee Beans, so you can wander across the street and get a vanilla blended while you're there. Little
coffee bean plug.
Yeah, a little attaboy to them.
Little coffee plug.
Yeah, little coffee plug. Put the plug in the jug. Shelly.
Yes.
We have people that listen to the show.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, thank you very much. You've just been counted, and that helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member, you'll have the opportunity to become one. It is free
and fun.
And you can like old shows. You can listen to old shows. You can leave topic suggestions and comments. You can follow us, so that you will get automatic updates when we post the shows, and you can put us on playlists for all your hot party needs.
Sweet. If you are Facebook friendly. It's really easy to join Podomatic. You can just click log in with Facebook and it'll do everything else for you. They don't spam you or anything, so that's cool. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. By the way, you should also check out my 12-step store on Facebook and also my 12-step store on Instagram. They're in both locations. You can also see Terminally Unique Apparel on Instagram as well. So we're very social media friendly here. If you'd like to join the secret group, which is where someone was saying Noah should go to the secret group, you're not going to be able to find it. But if you message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, or you ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we can figure a way to get you added to that group, and you can converse with Fran and Bill and all the people you hear about, and Robert, and a variety pack of a cast of hundreds that are involved in ways and things with the show.
Yes, Noah, if you're listening to the show, hit me up. I'll get you in.
And if, let's see. Oh, you want to send us an email, recovery101radio@gmail.com. So if you'd like to be like Noah or Fran and send us a jingle, be free to send us an MP3 to that email address. And as long as you know, use the words Recovery 101 Radio, you know, you can either use the host names or you don't have to use the host names. You know, we're narcissistic, so we kind of like our names, but, you know, it's up to you. If you send us in a jingle, we're for sure going to use it, for sure. And if we like it, we're going to use it a bunch. And so that's very cool. You can also send comments there, although we'd prefer you do that on Podomatic, but you can. You can send us show topics. And that, my friends, is the place to send the boozy news. You want to be a boozy news reporter for us? Send them to recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can either paste the whole story in your email or you can send a link. Either way, we'll get it, we'll use it, and you'll get credits and shout-outs for it. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley. Who's the lead on music by?
The Evangelicals.
I was seeing deer in the headlights there for a second. Are we doing So Sweet?
Sure.
All right. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Stole it from says closed. And I don't need no sexy leather, cause I got some skin of my own. Long as you've got love for me.